We're going to continue in our series we started last week on who is the Son. We know that God said in Scripture that He is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We just finished up a series on who is the Holy Spirit, now going into a series on who is the Son. His name is what? Jesus, the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And the more we understand His relationship with us and His purpose with us, besides just what happened on Calvary, which is the huge deal. We know that's the most important part of our salvation, understanding what Jesus did on the cross. But there's so much more. If we'll understand, it will change the way we pray. It will change the way you talk to Jesus. It will change the way you communicate, knowing that He understands where you are today. Last week, we talked about the carpenter. Remember us talking about it, and so many responded and said, Pastor, that message opened my eyes to the relationship and how much God really, truly understands me. There's so much we hear, so much teaching on the last 3 years of Jesus' life, His ministry. We forget that He spent a lot longer time being a carpenter than He ever did being a pastor or a preacher. He did a lot longer in the carpenter shop, working in a t-shirt and tool belt and sweating and calloused hands and working with people and working with a family that thought He was messed up. You know, if you have a crazy family today, you say, welcome. Jesus understands. Remember we said they came to Jesus, they said, Jesus, your mom and your brothers and sisters are here. And He's like, who are they? I don't know who they are. You're my family. You're my posse now. Right here, we're hanging out together. We're going to hang on. These people out there, they're crazy, because the Scripture says a few verses earlier they were out to get Him because they thought He had lost His mind. He thinks He's the Messiah. Woo! Let's get Him. Jesus, get out of there. Look what He's doing. He's teaching them He's the Messiah. Get out of there. He's crazy. And so Jesus knew what it was to have a dysfunctional family. He understood it. And the more we understand that Jesus' role and how He understands the pain that we go through, He understands rejection. He understands spiritual and physical pain. He understands the things that we go through in our life. The more we understand that He understands and relates, there's nothing that He faces that we do not face ourselves, that He understands. We have a throne with the Father, a judgment seat of mercy. When we come to Him, we receive the mercy because He understands what we're doing. The Bible describes the church really in three different entities. We see the church described in the Bible. First entity we see is the entity of the family of God. We're called the family of God. That's why relationship is more important than rules and regulations. That if you ever go to a church where rules and regulations are more important than relationship, then you need to really check yourself and make sure you're in a healthy place, because the rules and regulations should never come above relationships. That we realize that a healthy family is about relationships. And Jesus in the Bible calls us the family of God. He also relates to us as a fellowship, the fellowship of God. And in the fellowship of the rings, right? All right, the Lord, the original Lord of the Rings, the fellowship. We're called the fellowship. We are a unit. We're a fellowship of many different believers with different giftings, different personalities, different backgrounds. We're all different, but we come together in fellowship and in unity. That's why today that it's important that we don't allow issues to separate us, but we allow our fellowship to unite us. Let me say again, we don't allow issues to separate us, but we allow fellowship to unite us, accepting each other where we're at and coming together in unity. But the most important, and I believe the most descriptive that we see of the body of Christ, it's the number one depiction of the church in the Scripture, is we're called the flock. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're called the flock. We're called sheep. Now come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're called sheep. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, you're bad. Dun, 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 dun. All right, there we go. All right. You're bad, man. We're called sheep. It goes back to our text in Psalms 100, verse 3. We're talking about Jesus, the shepherd, today. In Psalms 100, verse 3, says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are the sheep of His pasture. Which goes right along into the next text, which is John 10. Verses 10, 11, and verse 14, I like it. It says, the thief comes, Satan comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have what? Life. He comes to give us life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. This is what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and what? My sheep know me. We know him as he is the good shepherd. The Word of God talks several times that he is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and we are the sheep who learn to hear his voice. So keeping that in mind today, I believe there's no other description that really paints the picture of our relationship with the good shepherd than the 23rd Psalm. It's a psalm that you hear a lot. A lot of times it's read at a funeral because it brings a lot of comfort to those who are walking through a season of mourning. But more importantly than walking through a season of mourning, I believe it brings us a season of hope here today that when we read the 23rd Psalm, this is how Jesus sees us. Psalms 23. Look at what it says here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many know that when we go today and we look around and we see the things that we're going through in our life, that the Lord is our shepherd? And we must realize, first thing, I want to give you three things about this. Three things about the Lord as our shepherd. Is that, first of all, the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, what? Want. How many know that's a pretty good thing? That's a pretty big statement to say, that I shall not want. And today, if you're here and you're living in fear because you're like, you know what? With the economy going up and down, I just don't know where things are going to come from. And it's very easy to get into a mode of fear, of worrying about where our resources are going to come from. But today, let me encourage you, as a Christian, we can come and be bold and say, you know what? The economy may go up and down. I may have a lot. I may have a lot less, but I shall not want. Because my resources and my supply does not lie upon me and upon the economy. My resources lie upon my shepherd. It changes who you are. Listen, your resources are not what's in your bank account. Because that's going to change from year to year. It's going to change from season to season. It's going to change from job to job. Sometimes you're going to have plenty. Sometimes it's going to be slim and you're scratching, trying to make bills be paid for. That's all right. It's a part of life, and we all go through ups and downs. But listen, my hope is in the Lord, that he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It changes my view of the shepherd. He says there is no lack in the Lord. If you believe you are the provider, you will live in fear. Let me say it again. If you believe that you are your provider, you'll live in fear. Now, I'm not talking about that you sit at home and do nothing, that you sit at home and don't work. I'm not talking about that. But you know that I'm going to do everything I can, but ultimately, God is in control. And that even though I may change jobs or I'm in between jobs, that God is in control of my life. Listen to this. The good shepherd doesn't always provide what the sheep want, but he always provides what the sheep need. Isn't that good? He doesn't always provide what we want, but he always provides what we need. The good shepherd doesn't always lead sheep where they want to go. He leads them where they need to go. You know, this is like a parent, our relationship with our kids. We don't give our kids what they want. We give them what they need. If we give them what they want because of their immaturity, they will have candy all day long. They will eat ice cream all day long. They will drink pop all day long. They will not go to school anytime. Come on, I mean, I'm talking about they will do nothing all. Why? Because that's what they want to do. But we know as parents there's things they need to do to become everything they need to be as a grown, responsible adult. And so we have to teach them and take them places they don't always want to go. We got to do things, give them things they don't always want to receive. But we know we're taking them exactly where they need to be for adulthood. It's the same way. God doesn't always, as a shepherd, take us where we want to go. He doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need. He leads us where we need to go. It's the same thing that happened all the way back in when Jesus came back upon the earth. Remember when the Jews, they missed Jesus. They didn't realize he was the Messiah. Why? Because they were looking for a political Messiah. They were looking for a political Messiah that would come and overthrow the government and restore back the government the way they thought it should be, because that's what they wanted out of the Messiah. But God knew they didn't need a political king. They needed the spiritual king. And so he sent him a spiritual king. And because they were looking for a political king, they overlooked the spiritual king that he sent them. So therefore, a lot of the Jews missed the Messiah. And to this day, have still not recognized that the Messiah has come, because they were looking for a political leader, not a spiritual leader. Is it possible that you and I, we've missed out on the provision of God in our life because we were so focused on what we wanted instead of what we needed? We got to realize God is a good shepherd, gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. He stretches us. He takes us and pulls us like elastic many times to mold us into what we're supposed to be. Let me give you three things about this, about the good shepherd providing. We're just going to go right through this verse and look at it verse by verse and see exactly what Scripture says about the good shepherd providing for us. It says that he provides contentment in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Green pastures are symbolic of God's holy word, that he feeds us his word. And still waters are symbolic of peace. So he lays us by the calm waters, a peaceful place. Listen, if you're walking in a place and saying, I'm hungry for more of God in my life, listen, the good shepherd, he'll feed you. You say, you know what, I just need more in my life. You're in a good place, because the good shepherd will feed your spirit. He will also take you, those who are having conflict in your life, you're not at peace. Listen, he wants to cause you to be at peace. If when you allow the good shepherd to lead you, he will lead you even though you're going through turmoil in your life, even though you're going through hard things in your life. He will lead you into places where you can find the calmness there, where you can find the peace there. That's our good shepherd. He restores us. He brings restoration. He restoreth my soul. That's what it says in verse 3. He restores my soul. Anyone here ever said this statement? I was crushed. I was crushed when my spouse left me. I was crushed when my child ran away from home. I was crushed when I lost this loved one. I was crushed when I lost my job. I was crushed. Anyone here ever been crushed in your life and you felt that way? All right. Listen, we can all relate. All of us have been crushed at one time or another. And this is the great thing about our shepherd. It says that he restores our soul. And what he's saying is this, is that he takes the thing, because when we say we were crushed, what we're saying is this: my soul was crushed. I was defeated. It brought me down. Something about my spirit and soul was crushed when I went through these times. And that's to be human. Those things are normal. We're going to go through times of being crushed. But the great news is this: the shepherd has come to restore your heart. The shepherd has come to restore your life. The shepherd has come to bring restoration. He's a God of restoring. He's a God that brings back the things that you lost and brings them back. Just ask Job about that. Ask Job about losing it all and getting it all back and the more. God restores. He's a God who restores our soul. He repairs, he heals our soul. The last thing that he does about providing, he gives us guidance according to this verse. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will lead me. Everybody say, he will lead me. He will lead. The shepherd will lead me. Isn't it awesome? He's not in heaven sitting up there on a throne just waiting. One of these days, you know, I'm going to come. No, he's leading us now. He's calling to us now. I read the story of a seminary student who went, he just graduated from seminary college. Before he became a pastor and a minister, he had studied so much about the scripture talking about the church being the flock and we being the sheep and him being the great shepherd. So he decided he was going to get a different perspective, and he went to Israel. And he went over there and he found some shepherds. He said, listen, I want to come. I'll work for you for free. Just give me a place to stay and feed me. I want to be the apprentice, you know. I just want to be a shepherd apprentice. I'm sure his parents are very proud, all those years of college, and my son's being a shepherd apprentice. Okay, that's really good. But he had something that he really wanted to do. He really wanted to have a better understanding about a shepherd and what it had to do with the Word of God and how it related to his life. And he said that one of the biggest things that he ever learned was that when they would go, and they had about 1,500 sheep in their particular flock, and they would take the shepherd would take the sheep to the lake country. And when they went there, there would be almost 20,000 sheep there. About 20 shepherds would come to this area, let their sheep graze upon the fresh green grass and go and drink all the water they wanted. They would spend the whole afternoon there. And the sheep would be there, and all these sheep would begin to eat and drink, and they would all mingle, and they would all get mixed up together, and they were all just spread out everywhere, and all the shepherds would come together, and they'd be talking and laughing and cutting up all day, and pretty soon one would say, well, it's about time for me to head back. I got the longest journey, and he'd get up, and he'd give a yell, whatever his special yell he designed, you know. You ever heard a sheep herder call? It's not very pretty, you know. You get some kind of weird sound, like, what did that come from? But he'd give a sound out, and all of a sudden, all of his sheep would come together, forming a line, and follow him out. As he would, all he'd do was just make a sound and start walking. And all of his sheep, no matter where they're at, they would come together and form a line and begin to walk and follow him. And pretty soon later, the next shepherd would do that, and all of his sheep would come together and follow him. And one after another, they would all call out, and every one of the sheep would come and follow the shepherd back to their home. And he said, man, I just got to ask him, is there ever one sheep that gets lost? He gets mixed up. Wouldn't you think that, you know, one of your sheep would follow home, this guy here, and you lose one of your sheep? They said, we never, ever lose one sheep because the sheep have learned and they're trained that sheep don't follow sheep, they follow the shepherd. And how many of us can learn a lot from there? Because a lot of us, we follow other sheep, and when they mess up and they fall, they do stuff to disappoint us, we're like, oh, good. You know, I guess I just don't believe in God then. Well, God's not real. Well, no, you're following the sheep instead of the shepherd. Listen, the sheep are going to disappoint you. If you follow sheep long enough, you're going to find yourself in a bad place. But you follow the great shepherd, and his voice will lead you. And it said all that was amazing. They would just go. He'd just call out, and he'd walk, and the sheep would be right behind him, following him. It's an amazing picture as you see it coming together. The sheep have learned to follow his voice, the guidance. He will lead us into all paths of righteousness. The second thing we see, the shepherd protects. He is with us in battle. The shepherd protects. He is with us in battle. Look what verse 4 says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is with us in battle. The rod and the staff, they are for comfort. Some of us picture the staff of God as a staff of punishment. If you're a fucker beaten with God's staff, let me tell you, that's not the good shepherd. The good shepherd is there to bring you comfort and peace. He's going to comfort you in peace. You know what the shepherd's staff was designed to do? It was designed to fight off the wolves. It was never designed to punish the sheep. It's never designed to hit the sheep. It's designed to fight off the wolves. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? Because he will bring me comfort and protection. His rod and his staff, they will not beat me. They will protect me. Look what it says, even though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How can I get comfort from the rod and staff? I'm comforted knowing this. As long as I'm following the shepherd, as long as I'm staying next to the shepherd, he is protecting me. He is fighting my battles. That brings me comfort. That brings me security. Knowing he's fighting on my behalf. You know, the wolf is not afraid of the sheep. He's afraid of the shepherd because he knows the shepherd's going to knock him upside the head. The shepherd's going to inflict pain to him if he gets close. So he doesn't get close to the shepherd. You know what the wolf does? He stands on the outside, the skirts, and he waits for the sheep who kind of leave the pack. And they get back on the fringe. Can you hear it now? And the wolf, hiding in the bushes, is waiting patiently for one sheep to stray. Oh, there's one sheep now straying, and the wolf sees it. You know what I mean? The wolf never attacks the sheep in the middle of the pack, does he? He always attacks the one that's out on the fringe by himself. Let me just say that's a lesson for you and I to learn right there. That if we're not careful, we come and we say we're with the flock, but really we're on the fringe. We don't come to church very often. And we're just hit and miss. And let me tell you, there's a danger in hit and miss. There's a danger with being on the outside of the flock. That's why it's so important that we learn to jump in to the center of God's flock. That's why it's important. We learn to jump into the center of God's family. Say, you know what? I'm going to be right next to the shepherd. I'm going to be right in the middle of the sheep. It ain't going to eat me. He's going to eat somebody. He's going to eat somebody out there. You ain't this guy right here because I'm jumping in the middle. I'm going to jump into the flock. I'm going to jump into a life group. I'm going to jump in and get surrounded by other sheep because I want to be protected by the shepherd. Well, that'll preach a long time. All right. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching to you. It's important that we stay connected. This is why it's important, not just because we love seeing your beautiful face and your beautiful smile, but it's the reason why we're faithful. It's because it's going to help you be protected. It's going to strengthen you because the wolf is out there waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. And as soon as he can get you isolated on the fringes, he's going to attack and he's going to go for blood. That's why I follow the good shepherd, because he protects me. How do we find us? He's with us in battle. He blesses us in battle. He does. He blesses us in battle. Look what it says in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Get the picture here. Jesus is saying this. This is what the scripture is saying, that Jesus comes. And there's a battle going on. Anybody been in a battle before? I'm not talking about a physical war. I'm talking about a spiritual battle in your life when you feel like all hell is breaking loose. Welcome to the club. If you know what I'm talking about, wait till next week. It'll happen for you, okay? All of us go through warring times when things are spiritual battles, just battling our life. And this is the great news about following the shepherd. He says that when we follow the shepherd, this is what happens. That in the middle of our battlefield, while the battle's going on, he says, come and sit down. He prepares a meal for us. He prepares a table for us. And we can sit in fellowship with Jesus. We can sit in the middle of our battle and be refreshed. Why? Because behind us are 20-foot giant warring angels that are out there fighting on our behalf. And God says, pull up a seat, Gene. I got you back. Pull up a seat. It's okay. Take some rest. Quit stressing, man. I've got this. Got it, man. I've got this. It's mine. Just sit down and relax at my table and allow me just to refresh you. Isn't that an awesome picture to see in the middle of my battle, in the very center of my battle? This is where God wants me to be, at rest in him. Does it mean the battle's not going on? Oh, yeah, it's going on. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. But I can find rest. I can find the peace when I sit at his table. That's my shepherd. That's your shepherd. Isn't that an awesome thing about our shepherd? He says that he refreshes us in times of our battle. He'll speak to us times of refreshing. The second part of verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, but it's also symbolic of being refreshed and about being strengthened. He says that in the middle of our battle, that even though we're going through a tough battle, that he comes and we sit at his table. And while we're sitting at his table, he takes the cup of oil and refreshes us. He anoints us. He empowers us. He restores us. Isn't that awesome? A picture to painting that while we're sitting in the middle of battle, he's pouring that cup of oil over us. And this is the good news, is that he says that the cup runs over. Let me say this to you another way. It never runs out. Now, you and I, we run out of goodness, don't we? We run out of strength. My kids come to me, and I'm like, all right, you've already asked me for this all day, you know? I've given you everything I can, man. And we're like, enough for this week. You know, wait. You've had enough. I've given you enough money this week. Can you wait till next week? Any parents can relate. Okay. We have, you know, we're giving out so much, and we're like, you know, I don't have any more to give. This is what's so awesome about our Savior. He never has that picture with us. He never says, oh, man, I've given you so much refreshing. I've anointed so much your head with oil so much just today. You're going to have to wait till next week, Carlos. No more for you. You've been here 2 hours. Go home now. Go away. No more for you. Isn't it awesome that our Lord and Savior says no to that? He gives us as much as we want. And he says, you can have as much as you want. And he gives us as much as we want. So why don't we ask? Why don't we come and sit at this table and say, God, I want everything daily that you have for me. God, I'm going to sit in the presence of my enemies. I've been there. Oh, God, they want to kill me. they want to do everything they can to take me down. But you know what? I'm going to find rest right here, God. I don't understand why they're after me. I don't understand why I'm going through this. But God, I know this. I'm going to have rest in you because you're fighting my battles. And you're going to do a lot better than I can. And not only am I resting in you, you're pouring over my head the cup of oil. Wow, what an awesome picture of our battles. What an awesome picture of our shepherd. And I love the last point here. The shepherd proclaims. Verse 6 says it like this. Surely goodness. Everybody say goodness. And mercy. Say mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This gives us our 3 points here. Goodness, mercy. He proclaims goodness, mercy, and eternal life. This is awesome. It's an awesome illustration when you realize what you're going through in your life. I need someone to be goodness. Come here, Pastor Matt. Everybody call Pastor Matt goodness. He's goodness. I need a mercy here. Anybody want to volunteer to be a mercy today? Dusty's going to volunteer. Come here, Dusty. Give me Dusty next to you. Volunteer. I got Carlos in the first service. I give him a break. So this is goodness. Everybody say goodness. And his name is?
Mercy.
His name is?
Mercy.
And goodness. Mercy and goodness. What a good looking bunch of mercy and goodness. And this is what I want you to get you the picture. This is the picture I see that when we're going through life, this is the promise of the Good Shepherd that when I'm walking through and I go through a tough trial in my life, and I don't understand what's going on, who's behind me? And I walk through another trial in my life and I go through a time and I lose my job. Is it okay because who's behind me? I walk through a time and I lose somebody close to me. Is it going to be okay because who's behind me? I walk through a time when I'm going through a battle and I don't understand the spiritual battle I'm going through. Is it okay? Who's behind me? And I go through and I walk through a time when I'm walking through the valley of death. How can I not fear any evil? Because I look behind me and who's there? And I begin to climb up the mountain and say, God, you're with me. Your goodness and your mercy, they're following me no matter where I go in my life. You know, even though the evil, the man plans for me, it's okay. Because goodness and mercy are with me. I can turn around and say, you know what? No matter what I go through my life, this is the promise of the Good Shepherd. That goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, somebody give God praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Give God praise. Begin to thank Him this morning. Begin to thank Him this morning. Come on, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the goodness and mercy are going to follow us. God, we thank you. Come on, remain standing this morning. We thank you, God, that goodness and mercy are following us. That, God, even when it looks like the enemy thinks he's got the last laugh, that, God, you've got a plan. That, God, you're going to work things out on my behalf. And, God, you are working as the good shepherd. God, you are fighting off the wolves that are trying to kill, steal, and destroy for my life. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, as the good shepherd. You're leading me. And even though I don't understand sometimes the path that you choose for me to walk, it causes me to grow in my faith. It causes me to stretch out. It causes me to seek after you and the things of God. It causes me to sift through my own selfish desires and say, God, where's my priority in you today? This is what our good shepherd does in our life. This morning, I want you, where you're standing up, can you just bow your heads where you're standing today and say, I want to ask you this question. As your pastor today and those who are visiting especially, I want to ask you this question. You say, you're talking about the good shepherd today, Pastor. And I must realize, first of all, that I'm ready to accept this good shepherd as my Savior. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I've never accepted Him before. Maybe you have accepted Him a long time ago and you say, I haven't lived for Him in a long, long time. And today I want to come back and renew my relationship with Him. I will not embarrass you at all. Nobody's looking but me. But today, if you're ready to say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, can you just raise your hand where you're at? Say, that's me, Pastor, right now. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it high. Come on. Go after it. Don't. Thank you. want this moment to pass you by. You want to join these five people today. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready today to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We're going to say this prayer with you as Christians. And those of you who raise your hands, we're going to say this with you. Say it out loud together. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you all of my life. I give you all of my sin. All of my dreams. All of my hurt. I give you everything. I accept your forgiveness today. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live for him. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we say welcome to the family of God. Before you leave today, if you raise your hand, go back there and grab one of those in their information. People get a Bible and some other information that tells you what to do next. It's free for you. It's our gift to you today. You need to be around people who will support you and help you in your new decision after Jesus Christ today. So make sure, if you don't have a home church, come back. Get plugged in with people who will love on you and support you. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready today to hear the voice of the shepherd like I never had before. I want to learn to walk in his comfort. I want to learn to walk in his peace. I want to learn to sit at the table in the middle of my battle. I want to learn to realize, no matter what I'm going through, that goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my house, all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in God's house. I'm going to dwell in the shepherd's company for the rest of my life. How many today say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready today. Today's just my prayer. I'm ready to hear the shepherd. How many say, I want God more than ever before in my life? I want to know God more. I want to hear his voice more. I want to know him so close like I never had before. We're going to sing a song today in closing. And I want you to make it the prayer of your heart that says, I need you more.
I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words could say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more than yesterday.
More than yesterday.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
More than words could say. I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you, Lord.
More than the air I breathe,
more than the song
I sing,
more than the next heartbeat, more than anything, Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my old life. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything, and Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you.
today. Put your hands and say,
we give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise.
Right now, Lord, I just pray over every person in this congregation, Lord, with our hands lifted up, Father. We say right now that, God, we want to hear your voice. We pray that the Good Shepherd, Lord, that we would learn to draw close to you. We would learn to hear your voice. We'll learn to be in the center of your flock. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can rest in the midst of our battles, that you lead us beside green pastures and still waters, that you set a table before us in the presence of my enemies. That even though they are against me, God, you are for me. And God, you are fighting my battles. And that no matter what I go through, even the valley of the shadow of death, that God, we praise you because you are sending goodness and mercy with me no matter where I go. So Father, today we learn to hear your voice. We learn to follow your voice. And God, we're learning that you are the Good Shepherd. You are a carpenter who understands us. You are the shepherd who first became a sheep that you could lead us. And now you are a good shepherd who has given your life for us. And God, from this day forward, we say we will follow you like we've never followed you before. And we say together, amen. Listen, today we're so glad and thankful that you were here today. I hope you feel God's presence changing your life. Remember, before you leave today, we got a free chili feed in the back, donation only. Come back and help us auction off some pies. We want to send a lot of students to campus here. We need your help. So stick around and help us do that. God bless you. Have a great day.